All right, Cove Baptist Church, let's welcome all those who will be watching by internet today with a wonderful hand of applause. Some of you on the internet have been asking for a little update on my health, and my health is doing wonderful. My mind is doing great. Yes, I'm thinking right for the first time in many a year, and it's doing well. I am now back to wearing shoes. I know those of you that watch the internet, you don't know what kind of shoes, but I've been actually preaching in house shoes. They've been very comfortable, and now I'm back to diabetic shoes, and I'm totally uncomfortable and in a bad mood. So I'm going to do the best that I can to overcome it, but I needed to be in real shoes today. It's a milestone for me, and I'm glad to be there. My wrist is still in the process of being worked on. I'm taking physical therapy, and so every week I'm a little stronger. I just can't wait for my hand to start working. Thank you for asking about me, and I appreciate that. Are you glad to be in God's house? Say amen.
Amen.
Let's go to God's Word. James chapter 1, we're going to begin with verse 2. Look what it says. My brethren, talking to church people, talking to Christian people. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You've got to be kidding me. Let's read that again. I don't know if I've read that right. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Yeah, I think I read it right. Whew. What's he trying to say? Bow your heads with me, please. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, may your word come alive on the page. May your word challenge us today. May your word inspire us today. For Father, temptations, they're coming. Will we win? Will we overcome? Will we choose the Lord? Father, I pray for this congregation that I love so much. I pray, Father, for whatever they're dealing with today, Father, that they put it in God's hands. To those who'd be watching by internet, Father, whatever you're dealing with, may you leave it in the hands of Jesus. And say, Father, help me. I need your power today. You pray those things in the name of Jesus and his spirit, his power, his presence will be ever present in your life. Father, we thank you. May the scripture come alive again on the page and real in our hearts. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. And everyone said,
amen.
Let's look at this. My brethren, brothers and sisters, members of Cove Baptist Church, those watching by internet, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Oh, that's exactly what I say when I'm under temptation. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It just absolutely has made my day that I'm under temptation. Is that something that you do on a daily basis? Do you thank the Lord for that? Is that what that means? No. But let me break it down. Let me show you what it means. Everybody here who is living for Jesus, following Jesus, coming to his church, studying his word, living for him. When you do that, Satan hates it. When he hates it, he's going to come after you. Here's what this means. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Because what this means is, this means that if Satan's coming after you, it means you're living for him.
Amen.
If I'm living for Satan, why would he want to tempt me? If Satan is in my life, and I'm doing all for Him, why would He want to tempt me? I already belong to Him. So what James is saying is, if Satan's coming after you, you must be doing something right. Woo! Man, I don't know what I'm doing, but Lord, He's after me. Is He after you? He's coming. He don't like you. He hates you. And more than that, He hates what you stand for. So if you're standing for Jesus, He wants to knock you down. Do you get the picture? Amen. That's what this means. Thank God He's wanting to knock you down because you must be doing something. Now, that don't mean that you stand up and you say, okay, Satan, I'm living for the Lord, so just give me your best shot. Don't be that silly. Don't be that stupid. Because that's arrogance. That's saying, you know, I'm more powerful than you, Satan. He loves when we get that arrogant. That's not what you do. You just say, thank you, Jesus, every day. Because Satan won't leave me alone, Lord. But I know you and I together are going to whip him and put him in his place. And there's a day coming when I'm not going to have to deal with him anymore. Give the Lord a hand of applause in his face. Now, here's the teaching. Here's the advice. When you know this, in other words, you've been educated, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith is another way of saying temptations. If Satan tempts you, he's trying your faith. And a lot of times, Satan allows that to try your faith. When I was in school, college, seminary, I hated tests. Oh, I mean, I made straight C's. I made one B minus. It was good. It was in psychology. But you don't never know really how much you're learning unless you're tested. When you really think about that, folks, if that's the case, whoo, how much have you been tested in life? How much testing you got to go? Because see, somewhere along the line, you're either going to pass or you're going to fail. Do you really understand that? Let's put that real simple. Because life is pass or fail. All the time you're in school, you're either going to pass or you're going to fail. Life is school. Faith is about going to school. It's about going to the Jesus school. It's about going to the school of hard knocks sometimes. And it's about going through temptations and coming out on the other side of it. Because when you come out on the other side of it, you learn this. Here's the education. And believe me, you need a doctor's degree in this. And it's called patience. The hardest thing on this planet to develop as a Christian person is patience. Because it's a work in progress. What's it say? That the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But let patience have her perfect work. In this particular way that Larry has put this on here, did you put her here for a reason?
No, sir. It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible. Okay. So her makes it look like that women need more patience than men. Is that why you put that in there, Larry? Now, Larry, stand up and be a real man here now. I mean, I'm just trying to understand what you did here. Okay. Yeah, that's true. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. Now, does that mean that you're going to be perfect? No. But it means if you have patience, you understand God's perfect will for you. There is a perfect will for you. You're not going to be perfect, but God is perfect. Jesus is perfect. The Holy Spirit is perfect. And when I understand that, oh, here's some big time teaching. Wanting nothing. When I truly come to understand what all Jesus has done for me, what else more could I want? Because it's when I get into want that Satan gets in your mind. Let me really put you down a psychology road here a minute. If you really don't want for anything, if Jesus is all that you need, and I'm not talking about that, you know, that you're just satisfied if you live out here on a bench somewhere. Everybody needs a home, everybody needs a vehicle, and everybody needs clothing, everybody needs food to eat. I mean, we understand all that, okay? But what we have to come to understand is when we get to an attitude in life to where, you know, I really don't have enough. Jesus has not blessed me enough. Because that's really what your actions, you may not quite say that, but that's what your actions are, because sometimes when we don't get something that we want, we get mad. And when we get mad and when we get angry, it becomes an absolute planting ground for Satan. He loves us to want more, to want more, to want more, to want more, to want more. Jesus is saying, you need to be satisfied. Because when more comes, it needs to be on His timetable. Not on yours. Everything that you've got, whether it's little or a lot, when you truly understand what God is all about, you know it came from God. Give Him a hand of applause in His house. Now look at verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, who's this talking to? This talking to you, raise your hand. Everybody get your hands up, people. Come on. Up, up, up. Sure. If any of you lack wisdom, can you ever have enough wisdom? Are you married? Do you have children? Do you have a job? Do you have a boss? Do you have a preacher? Oh, yeah. There's never having enough wisdom. Let him ask of God. Big time question here. Look at this. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If any of you lack wisdom, everybody in here likes wisdom. I like wisdom. I want wisdom. I want more wisdom, because wisdom is what controls my thinking. I want Jesus to control my thinking, not Satan. Because when Jesus controls my thinking, He controls what? My actions. Do you hear that, internet? Actions. Actions equal one thing when it comes to a Christian person. That's our witness. How we act, where we go, what we do, what we say. That is our witness around the world. And around that world means your world. Where you go to work, what you do, who you're with, your friends, people you socialize with. You better believe you need all of the wisdom that you can get. So if I know that, how do I get it? Because I'm asked this quite a bit. You know, I'd like to be wiser. How do I get it? Here's how you get it. Let him ask of God. So many people want wisdom, and so they go and they read books. There are more books written about this type of thing than you can imagine. And that's good. That's okay. I'm all into books and all that. That's great. But you can read every book that's in every library. And speaking of libraries, Monica and I had the real privilege yesterday of going over here. Fairdale got a brand new library. The newest library in the city of Louisville is in Fairdale, Kentucky. And it is beautiful. I've never seen so many children there. And it was fabulous. And we were thankful to be a part of that. I think books are wonderful. But folks, when it comes to wisdom, you go to God and you ask. And here's one of the best promises that you'll find anywhere in Scripture. I want you to see this. I want it to come alive. Because God wants you to have wisdom too. Let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. In other words, when you say, God, I need wisdom in this decision that I'm going to make. And I don't know what that decision might be. What is it you've got to do? But if you ask God for it and you're sincere about it, He does not shut His mouth. He opens His mouth and talks to your heart, and He gives you everything that you need. I don't care what choices that you make in life. If we had more people that would get on their knees and ask Jesus before they opened their mouth, before they signed that paper, before they bought that home, bought that car, whether they disciplined that child or whatever that they did, whatever the decision may be, if you would ask God and allow Him to work in your life, how much better off would this world be?
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand of applause. All right, Larry, let's go to the next verse. Let him ask in what? Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, it's amazing to me how people think. Don't you love it when someone comes and asks you for advice and then they don't take it? Isn't that a great slap in the face to you? Oh, I'd like to know what you think about this. What would you do? And you go on, you talk to them for 5, 10, 15, 20 hours. Next thing you know, they went and did the exact opposite of what you told them to do. Now, I know some of your parents are thinking, oh man, my kids, kids are another story, another situation. They're not programmed to take your advice, so don't take it personally. Although, you want some advice, Isaiah? Stephanie and Matthew are not here, so I mean, you know, Monica and I can talk freely about that. They didn't ask our advice. Oh, now they want it. But now I charge for it. When they were 15, 16, 17, I was gladly giving it to them free. I mean, every day. Now when they come to me, they're going to pay for it. But you know, Jesus takes it personal, folks. When He gives you all this wisdom and all this advice, and then you turn around and you do the exact opposite. Look what this says. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. Not wavering means when Jesus talks to you, you listen to it. Because Satan, he has an opinion too. Somehow or another, he likes to sneak that into your thinking. Next thing you know, that's what you're doing. You're thinking. You're thinking. You're thinking about this way, that way. Well, maybe God didn't mean this. Maybe He meant that. I don't know. I'm confused. What should I do? Oh, I think I'll go this way. Because surely God didn't mean it that way. Satan loves to get you thinking, because then it's all about you. And this saying, not wavering, means when you ask God for wisdom and advice, when He gives it to you, take it by faith and do it. Look what happens. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind, and is tossed. Wind has been a big factor around this part of the world in the last 6 or 8 weeks. Homes have been destroyed. People's lives have been destroyed. People's lives have been taken. Many, many years ago, and I've told this story several times, so if I'm repeating it, then just act like you've never heard it before like I do. Many, many years ago, when I was a teenager, we went to Florida a lot, and I loved being in the ocean. I loved getting a raft and just floating around out there. And of course, you love it when the waves are bigger, because then you can ride that raft in. And back at that time, I weighed about 90 pounds. It was a lot of fun. And you get on a raft, here comes this big wave, and you just want to ride it in. It's a lot of fun. You know, you're probably doing 20 mile an hour, but you think you're doing 200 mile an hour. This one particular day, I got out a little farther than I should have. And when you're in the ocean and you're on a raft, your feet's not touching the ocean floor. Have you ever noticed that? So what I would do on occasions, I would get off the raft so I'd make sure my feet hit the ocean floor so I could walk around and get ready to catch the wave. This one particular time, I wasn't paying any attention. Next thing I know, I stepped off that raft and there was no ocean floor there. And it was over my head. When you get out there a little ways, here comes the bigger waves. When you cannot put your feet on solid ground, listen to me, you're at the mercy of the ocean. Does that make sense so far? Next thing you know, I'm not floating in. Which way am I floating?
Out.
Now, my father wasn't paying any attention because that's just what fathers do. But my mother noticed and she thought maybe I could be out there just a little bit farther than what I'm supposed to, so she's hollering at me, "Roger, get back in here. Roger, you're out there too far. Come on back in. Come on back in." At that time, I was getting scared because I could see the fear on my mother's face. Next thing I know, back then, I don't know how they do today, the lifeguard stands up and he blows a whistle. And he's got a stick about this long and he's got a red flag on it. And what he does, he blows the whistles and points at you and then, like this. That whistle's going off. And he's pointing at you, "Get in here." Well, I could tell he was pointing at me, but it wasn't nothing I could do. Blowing that whistle, "Get in here." He blew that thing about 5 times. Wasn't nothing I could do. I was at the mercy of the ocean, going out farther. Next thing I knew, that lifeguard came out of that tower he was in, and he was swimming toward me as fast as he could. Now, all the attention's on me. My mother's crying. She can't have no more children. My father finally woke up. When that lifeguard got to me on that raft, he didn't chew me out. All he said was, "I'm here to save you. Hang on to the raft." And I'd never seen such a swimmer in my life. Pulled me in to the shore. Now I'm probably 14, 15 years old, but you're talking about one scared individual. And when I got myself back on solid ground, I said to myself, "I will never, ever put myself in that situation." And I hugged that lifeguard for 5 minutes. He could not. He tried to let go. I wouldn't let go of him. Now, somewhere in this picture, folks, is a story of life. Sometimes we don't think we're out too far in life. But it doesn't take but one wrong decision. Listen to me closely. And you are over your head in life. And there's only one way to get saved. And that's when the lifeguard comes and gets you. The Holy Spirit blows the whistle. He's telling you, he's warning you, get back, get back. Sometimes Satan's got too much of a hold at that time. He's pulling you away. But when you holler to Jesus, when he comes, and he will come, and when he comes and he pulls you back, you hug him, you hug him, you hug him, and you never let him go because he saved your life. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Driven with wind and tossed, life drives you. Life tosses you around. But remember one thing, you serve a Jesus who knows how to calm the sea in your life. When times get hard, life gets rough, and you don't know what's going to happen, you remember this. You serve the one that when he says, calm down, the storms of your life will calm at the sound of his voice. Believe me, that's the one you want to serve. Give the Lord a hand of applause and thanks. Would you stand with me, please? Father, may your word reach to our hearts in this very moment. May it reach down and touch every one of us. No matter what our need is this hour, no matter what our trouble is this hour, you can calm the storm in our life. And if you're watching by internet, wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing, God loves you through His Son Jesus. He can change your life. He can forgive you. He will love you. He will lift you up, dust you off, and give you a new purpose, and prepare a home for you that nothing else in this world can offer. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, there's just something about that name. Father, in these moments, your presence is in this place. May it change lives. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we pray. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus?